So in case you haven't heard, we are reading a book by Brian McLaren this year called We Make the Road by Walking. And when I preach, I will often comment on one of Brian's chapters and the scriptures that came along with that chapter. And this past week, Brian explored chapter 5. We read chapter 5 and the flood story from Genesis. At the end of each chapter in his book, Brian asks this question: what one thought or idea from today's lesson especially intrigued, provoked, disturbed, challenged, encouraged, warmed, warned, helped, or surprised you? So let's apply that question to the scriptures we just read. So I invite you to take just a minute, turn to someone close to you, and briefly answer that question. What one thought from today's scriptures that we just read intrigues, provokes, disturbs, challenges, encourages, warms, warned, helped, or surprised you? Okay, so what I love about Brian's book is that he is tracing the story of the Bible. And so he starts in the beginning with the book of Genesis. And Genesis begins with the creation of the cosmos and our world. But it's also the start of a larger story that begins with Adam and Eve and their family, and then takes us to Noah, then to Abraham and his family, and then to Moses, then to the nation of Israel, and eventually will take us to Jesus. The story begins in Genesis, and if we want to faithfully explore and try and understand this story as best as we can, these individual stories, such as the flood story today, we have to read them as part of a larger story. We lose something when we just pick them out and read them on our own. And so we're in chapter 6 of Genesis, and the story has already told us about Adam and Eve and how they were created in the image of God. And humanity was to reflect their creativity, the goodness, and the character of the Creator. They were given two trees to eat from, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they chose the latter. From there, Genesis describes this downward spiral of humanity. Cain is jealous with his brother Abel and gives in and murders him. Lamech, a descendant of Cain, not only commits more violence, but he is proud of his violence, which then leads right into the story of the flood and God deciding to wipe out the world to preserve the goodness God had originally hoped for when the world was created. So I would have loved to have heard some of your comments on our scripture readings, because I imagine that you very well might hear this story in a different way now than when you were a child. This is actually a pretty serious and intense story, and it needs to be interpreted in a different way than when we interpret biblical stories when we are children. Children should focus on the ark and all the animals, and they're coming in two by two, and children should be singing the arky arky song. The Lord said to Noah to build me an arky arky and build it out of gopher barky barky, children of the Lord. But as you get older and you read this story as an adult, or as a teen, you can start to think about it in different ways. Years ago on a Sunday night at youth group, we were using this video series that slowly took us through the story of the Bible from beginning to end. And at this particular night's lesson, we were on the flood story. And after watching the video, we were invited to draw or write down what stood out to us in this story, what made us wonder. And as we went around and shared with the rest of the group, one of our teens, a middle school teen, said, "Well, what about everyone else who was a part of Noah's family? They all died in this story, and God caused it? It doesn't make sense." It doesn't. She was now looking at this story from a different angle than when she did as a child. And what I appreciate about Brian's book is that he's very willing to shine a light on some of the more difficult sections of Scripture. He doesn't shy away in chapter 5 from noting how disturbing this part of Genesis can be read. All of humanity is wiped out in this story, and only one single family is saved? What? What does that story say about God? Well, if we're honest, we look at the story from one particular angle, it makes some very disheartening assumptions about God. And that is the challenge in the limitation of looking at Scripture from only one angle. When we do that, the first angle that we look at is usually from a literal perspective, right? And we say to ourselves, if I'm supposed to believe everything in the Bible happened just as it was written, how am I to make sense of this story? And so what often happens is people read a story like Noah and the flood, and it now confuses them instead of maybe delighting as it might have when they were a child, and it can often lead to people throwing up their hands in the air and saying, I don't know what to do with this book, and walking away. And that has happened countless times in our culture. People have walked away from their faith or their genuine exploration of faith because they can't reconcile a God who would wipe out all of humanity. And I can't blame them for feeling confronted with that choice. So every Sunday, Rob or I, as I did today, welcome you to TPC and we share what kind of church we are striving to be: inclusive, curious, compassionate, courageous. And I love all of those words. But when they were proposed, I was particularly drawn to curious. Curious acknowledges that we don't have the life of faith fully figured out. We will always be learning, always be growing, all of us at every stage of life. And to be curious means you have to be asking questions. They go hand in hand. And if we don't ask good questions of the Bible, it will be hard for us to understand a lot of it because it can contradict itself and not make sense. It does. And so to ask good questions about the Bible is to look at these stories from different angles and different perspectives, because each angle will tell us something different about it and open up even more questions for us to ask. To ask good questions of the Bible is to actually hold it in high regard and take it very seriously, which is what we strive to do here. In our kitchen at home, we have these black cabinets. I look at them, and at night, they look great. I look around, and I'll say to myself, this is a good-looking kitchen. I like it. And then daytime will arrive, and I'll look at the cabinets from a particular angle as light descends upon it, and what will I see? I'll see dirty cabinets. And I'll say, ah, this is not a good-looking kitchen. I need to clean those cabinets. Different angles and different perspectives tell us so much. When we come to the Bible and these ancient stories, it's not helpful to just ask the question, did this happen or not, and stop right there. That is just the first question. It's just the ground floor for us. From there, we're invited to begin to wonder, what was the world like when this story was written? Why did people write down this particular story? Why was it important to them? How did they try and make sense of the world around them? And what does this story tell us about what it means to be human? We know it tells us something about God, But what about what it means to be human? In the flood story from Genesis, it begs questions. And for us to look at it from different vantage points. In the ancient world, flood stories were numerous. People of Israel were not the only ones who had flood stories. The Sumerians had their own flood story. The Babylonians had their own flood story. And for the most part, these flood stories were similar in that they all made the point that divine judgment had caused the waters to rise and for humanity to be wiped out. God, or the gods in these stories, were often angry and vengeful. And we make the road by walking. Brian describes one of these ancient flood stories. He says, a gang of gods unleashed a catastrophic flood that laid waste to the world as a personal vendetta against some noisy people who had kept the gods awake at night. When we lay these ancient flood stories alongside the Noah story, there are some similarities. In Genesis, God sees the violence that has taken over the world, the killing, the destruction, the inability to care for and respect one another. God sees this downward spiral of humanity and decides to start all over. There are similarities. But what's interesting is that there's something very different about this Noah story that's different than the others. God is actually merciful in this story when you compare it to the other stories. Often in the other stories, God or the gods wipe out everyone and everything. The angry God's wrath is satisfied. But in this story, God actually does some saving. God saves Noah and his family and the animals, and then does something quite astonishing. God makes a covenant with Noah and the earth, a promise with humanity and with the world, with all of creation, to never do this again. And God makes this promise not because humanity has changed. Keep reading Genesis. It doesn't take long to notice that humanity is back where it was before we started. In the Noah story, God changes. God's mind is changed, and God decides to never do this again. And then God commits to living with people in a very new way. The other flood stories ended in a very different way. The gods were angry and everyone was wiped out, and the gods were satisfied with their destruction. The Noah story is different. It ends with hope. It ends with a promise. It ends with God wanting to live with humanity and all living creatures in a new and life-giving way. And so when you look at this story from one angle, it could describe a God who might seem to lack mercy. But when we look at it from another angle, where we lay it aside other ancient flood stories, it has hope to it and describes a God who wants to be in relationship with humanity. We can actually read this flood story as a giant leap forward of how people were coming to understand God in the ancient world. What I love about Brian's book is he's not just sticking with the New Testament, but he's taken us through the whole thing and inviting us to explore the story the Bible is telling. To take it seriously means we need to wrestle with it, all of it, both Old and New Testaments. We need to ask good questions. We need to look at it from different angles and different perspectives. And then we make the road by walking. Sometimes we'll agree with Brian's interpretation. And sometimes we might not. Good. Because that's how it works. That's how we grow and learn. That's how we keep allowing the Bible and the story it is telling to shape us individually and as a community, into who God is calling us to be, a community that is here to bring hope and peace and justice and love and life to the world. Amen.